problems occur in your life, do you ever question God and ask why? For example, why is this happening to me? Or why do I have to go through this? Even the most devoted Christian has asked these questions at some point in his or her walk with God. These moments of doubt have happened to all of us. On today's show, you'll meet a young woman who was forced to grow up way too fast. Tragic circumstances placed her at a very young age with the challenge to care for four children with no parental guidance, and 8 years later, two of her kids were ripped away by a court order. Today, she questions her relationship with God, and is God really paying attention to her life at all? Why has her life been filled with such difficulties and heartbreak? Can you relate?
I just don't know who I am. I put on this great persona, but this is not who I am. I'm lost, and I'm trying to find me. I find myself wanting to commit suicide. Just take it all away.
In the next 30 minutes, we will discuss these questions of belief in the face of adversity and hardships. Have you ever questioned God? Let's discuss it together. I'm Creflo Dollar, and this is Your World. Our next guest turned 20 years old. Her family, one by one, began to pass away within a very short time of each other. Her aunt died, and she lost her grandfather 9 months later. 4 months after that, her mother was gone, and each death in her family drove despair into her soul, and she began to believe that God no longer cared. Would you please welcome LaToya to Your World today?
How are you?
Be seated. Thank you so much for joining me today. Take us back and take us through all of the things that caused this despair. And then I'm going to take some time and share some things with you that I think will begin the journey of your healing.
Okay. I'm going to go back to when I was about 3 years old. I was maybe like 4 months shy of being four. My father, he was murdered by a young lady who he was dating. She couldn't let him go, so she waited until, you know, he started to pack his things to move out, and that last box, she shot him in the back. After that, my mother got on drugs really bad. She was on crack cocaine, and so her parents, which was my grandmother and my grandfather, they took the responsibility of raising my sisters and I.
So in a sense, you lost two parents?
Yeah, so in a sense, I lost two parents at 3 years old, one to death and one to the streets. I believe my grandmother was a little frustrated. You know, she done raised her children, now she has to raise her daughter's children, so she didn't really show love towards me. And I believe it was more so because I reminded her of my mother. Like, I look exactly like her, I act like her, I talk like her, everything is just like her. So fast forward to 2006, my aunt, who was 30 years old, her boyfriend took her away from here, and he brought her to Atlanta, and he killed her. He broke her neck, and she has 6 children.
Wow.
Her youngest probably was maybe, had just turned 3, and her oldest maybe was 10 or 11. And so that was like the last time we got to see them. My grandfather got sick from that. He ended up having a stroke, and his health just declined from there. It just went down. They put him on in ICU, and then he was in a nursing home for a little while. And then my grandmother decided to bring him home. He lived maybe 9 months, and then he passed away. like, I've never experienced anything like this. Losing people back to back to back, and I had to bury all of these people, as well as, you know, take on the responsibility of my two younger sisters and my two nephews. So after my grandfather passed, my mother had been diagnosed with brain cancer, and they put her on hospice, and they gave her only 6 months to live. So I decided to take her home. I wanted to care for her. I didn't want her to stay in that facility. So I took her home, and she ended up living 10 months past the 6 months that they were giving her. And so she passed away, and then God gave us a break for like 9 months. And then my older sister, she was killed. Mm-hmm. She was beaten to death.
Beaten to death?
She was beaten to death. She was in a shelter, and she lost her life in a shelter. And so my grandmother could not take it. We buried my sister on Valentine's Day in 2010, and the next morning my grandmother woke up and she was spitting up black blood, and she was just, her neck had swollen up really bad, and so.
What was going on? I mean, I've never heard of just this much death. I mean, as a pastor, I've never heard of this much consecutive, violent in some cases, death. You were, what, late teens, early 20s?
I was just 20 years old.
And I'm trying to imagine your emotions at that particular time. Could you describe it for us?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm lost. Mm-hmm. What you see on the outside is not what it is on the inside. Mm-hmm. And I just in despair, because I was angry. I didn't know why the things were happening the way that they were happening. Mm-hmm. So this very day, I'm lost, and I'm trying to find me, and I just don't know who I am. I put on this great persona, but this is not who I am, you know? I wish I had a mother. Like, every day every day is a hassle for me to get up and to go on with the daily routine, you know? I'm always wishing I had parents, or wishing I had someone I can call on, or wishing I could talk to someone, you know? I find myself more depressed than a little bit. I find myself wanting to commit suicide. Just take it all away, you know? Because I don't understand my situation. And sometimes I felt like maybe I was cursed, you know, like someone has placed cursed on me. And
you're considering all of those things because you're wanting some answers.
Yeah,
Some answers. We left off with your grandmother waking up, spitting blood.
Yes.
Take us on through that.
And so she woke up and she was spitting up blood, and so we called 911. Less than 5 hours later, she was in ICU. She was fighting for her life for at least 3.5 months, and then she died 4 months later, which was July. So, and then I had to bury her. And so here I am, by this time, 22 years old. I have two nephews who are infant and toddler. I have an autistic sister, and I have a baby sister. And now here I am trying to figure out, how am I going to provide for these people? How am I going to take care of them? And so I believe that's how I ended up losing myself in the process, you know, just not worried about me, just worried about them and trying to stay strong for them.
I need to just really congratulate you for stepping to the plate and serving your family selflessly. The grace of God and His love surrounds you for you to be able to do this. It's definitely not in your own power. It's not in your own strength, and it's not in your own ability. But this show is all about revealing Jesus to people and the
Absolutely.
Grace of God. And I can declare without a shadow of a doubt that you have been supported by God's grace.
Absolutely.
Because it's through His grace that has allowed you to be sufficient, mm-hmm. to be able to do what you've done.
Absolutely.
And I have to say, that's a mighty miracle. And you are a miracle sitting on this couch
Thank
right
you.
Now. Don't you think so?
Thank
what a blessing of the Lord. I would have to give a term to just where you are right now. and let's just deal with that. You have a broken heart. And brokenness is something that when you begin to look at how do you deal with brokenness, no doctor in the hospital can do heart surgery like God. And so I have to turn to him as we begin to address this situation here. The two boys, tell us what happened to them.
So August of 2016, their father came back into the picture and he sued me for custody. Right away, my heart just started doing its own thing. So it was to the point where my heart wasn't beating right. It wasn't acting right. So I went to the hospital, and I want to confirm, they did say that I was suffering from a broken heart disease.
They said that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I have broken heart syndrome.
Wow.
And so they asked me to, you know, to get a church home and find somewhere to go so that I don't allow this to take full
right.
control. So back to my nephews. I went to court, and they said they just wanted to give him a chance. He got the children, and I haven't heard from them in over a year.
Wow. Wow. I don't know if you even recognize, audience, that that was a serious diagnosis, that people have died of a broken heart. I had a member one time whose father died, and for no really apparent reason, he was in a car and in traffic and on 85 and just died. And when they got him, they said there was nothing physically wrong except of a broken heart. It is something so very, very serious, but it is one of those things that Jesus, as the physician, is the only one that's been successful at operating and healing a broken heart. So now we know where to go to.
Yes.
We've all experienced brokenness because that's a part of humanity. We try to cover it up with, you know, Christianity and stuff like that, but all of us are here, have experienced some type of brokenness. Mm-hmm. Of course, to this degree, this is very intense. But brokenness, a broken heart is an open heart, and then you can become vulnerable. What do I mean by that? You've peeled off the things that you hid behind before. You peeled off the mask. You peeled off all of the phoniness and the things that can kind of hide who you really are. And in our brokenness, we can finally share with people the authenticity mm-hmm. of who we are.
Right.
And brokenness can somehow become an avenue by which you can develop relationships, because people can see who you are. They don't have to work through the clutter. They don't have to try to remove the mask. They see who you are, and they can now benefit from your brokenness to heal their brokenness. And you got a bunch of broken people going around sharing their brokenness, and they don't even know that healing is taking place as we begin to share our brokenness.
Absolutely.
One of the greatest times of my life was when I realized that I had a broken heart that was full of shame and guilt. And it was when I began to share that, when I began to minister on shame and begin to share my testimony about what the shame and the guilt was all about, all of a sudden my brokenness became healing for somebody else's brokenness. And so you have to always examine, why am I going through this? Well, number one, the grace of God gave you the strength to go through it. But number two, could it be that through your brokenness, you're now going to be ready to heal somebody else's brokenness? Oh, I sense some ministry rising up here somewhere, because I've never heard of this before. And yet here you sit, comforted by the grace of God. Hallelujah. And that's the first thing. The second thing is worship causes your brokenness to submit to a God who already has
Amen.
The victory. You already know what I'm talking about, right?
I already know.
It's the number of people that show up to church to worship, you'd be shocked
mm-hmm.
because they show up broken.
Mm-hmm.
But that brokenness is now submitted to a victorious God.
Absolutely.
It's submitted to a God who reigns and a God who rules
Absolutely.
And a God who's never lost a patient where broken hearts are
All
concerned.
Right. Absolutely.
And so worship brings brokenness to a proper perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I want you to hear. This is important where your healing is concerned. Your pain is private, but your healing is corporate. And that simply means we don't want you to, a lot of times there's a temptation to isolate yourself. I just don't feel good. I'm too broken to even have relationships. And yet, while your pain may be private, your healing's gonna be corporate. Your healing's gonna involve relationships. Your healing's gonna involve all of the people who will gravitate towards you because they know your story, they know your brokenness, and it's all of the things you get from the corporate body of Christ that continues to help you to move from one level of health to another level of healing where brokenness is concerned. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to push that away.
Right.
Allow the healing to come to you through the number of people that God will inspire to share your story.
Yes, sir.
Because really, right now, we're sharing your story to millions of people.
Yes, sir.
And there are millions of folks and our audience here today that heard your story, and it's like, you know, oh my God, I just want to give her a hug. You know what I mean? That's not pity. That's, I can't imagine to the degree of what you've gone through, but through my own brokenness,
right,
I'm being healed by your strength.
Yes.
How do you do this? I mean, that's enough to send you to the crazy house.
It is.
It really is. It's enough to do that.
Oh, it is.
And so what I want you to hear is that there is light at the end of the tunnel, but don't think that brokenness is the end of life. The beauty of brokenness is what it can do in somebody else's life and in somebody else's brokenness. And that's why I'm so thankful for this show today. You're not only being used by God to heal the brokenness of the people that are watching this broadcast, but just by recognizing some of the things that I'm saying,
yes,
your brokenness is being healed as well.
Yes.
Now, what I don't want to happen is, well, let's just dismiss what you've gone through and act like it's not there. No, let's use what you've gone
Absolutely.
Through. Let's make sure you know you were there.
Mm-hmm.
And let's demonstrate to people that Jesus, when he said in Luke chapter 4, he came to heal the brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, by believing in him, how? Father, every time the pain wants to rise up, you open your mouth and say, Father, I believe you came to heal my broken heart. Mm-hmm. Father, I believe you came to heal my broken heart. Who am I? I'm the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I? I'm redeemed. Who am I? I am healed of a broken heart. And so what happens is we don't deny that our heart's broken. That's what a lot of people like to do, especially Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Christians like to deny that they're broken.
Mm-hmm.
They're at church broken.
Mm-hmm.
They're still thinking about what's going on. Somebody now notices, you know, are you okay? And they begin to share what happened to them. And the corporate healing that comes as a result of not being ashamed of your brokenness. I thought maybe you should be ashamed of your brokenness. Don't be ashamed of your brokenness. Jesus is a healer.
Amen.
And what I've discovered is through my brokenness and through the sharing of my brokenness, a lot of people have been delivered from shame and guilt. And I believe today, although it is very intense, all of that hurts.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I'll say it again.
Ooh.
I sense grace is raising up a mighty
yes,
ministry
Lord.
Tool that's gonna change
Absolutely.
The lives of people. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Only through Christ can you expect to be healed of brokenness and not have to live to tolerate brokenness. The world deals with it this way. They deal with it from a mental and an emotional standpoint only. They don't have any trust in the spiritual. Jesus said, I'll heal your broken heart.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, I'd teach you to cope with it.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I will heal your broken heart. See, in the world, they'll teach you how to cope with it.
Mm-hmm.
But in Christ, he says, I'm gonna heal it. And it'll be a story,
mm-hmm.
but the pain won't be there because with his stripes, you're healed. And he came to heal the brokenhearted,
mm-hmm.
not to get you to tolerate a broken heart.
Amen.
And so that's good news to me, mm-hmm. that we can expect through Christ for our hearts to be healed, mm-hmm. not for you to cope. That's like saying you got a doctor operating on a part of your body, but he never fixed it. He says, oh, well, I stuck something in there. It's still messed up, but right. you know, you have to deal with it. No. Jesus doesn't like put a Band-Aid over your brokenness. He removes it, praise mm-hmm. God, and he yeah. heals yeah. your broken heart.
Amen.
So I have to be careful sometimes when, you know, my background as a therapist, talking to people who don't believe what we believe. Mm-hmm. And yet what we have is the greatest thing in the world.
Absolutely.
We have a doctor who's never lost a patient,
absolutely.
A lawyer who's never lost a case.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this show is all about, making sure people understand that we're under the grace of God. And he will heal us, not because we deserved it, not because we earned it, not because we worked for it. He heals us because he loves us, and his healing of our broken heart is an expression of his love for us. And so with his stripes, you are healed. And I speak to every person watching this program today, and you have a broken heart. I speak healing to your broken heart right now. I declare that with his stripes, you are healed, praise God. And God will deliver you from the circumstances and the pain of it all together in Jesus' name. Don't y'all appreciate our guests today? You brought a lot out. Yeah. I think every time you go through something, you should come out wiser after each of those situations. I don't think you should come out knowing less. You should come out knowing more.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to share this with you. This is a grace covenant to Latoya Graham. I accept this grace covenant provided to me by Creflo Dahl and agree with the following statements. I believe Jesus loves me and nothing will ever change that. I believe that grace in the person of Jesus Christ has already provided everything I will ever need to have a healthy, fulfilling, and prosperous life. I believe everything in my past is in my past. Jesus has chosen not to remember it, and neither will I. I will daily proclaim I'm the righteousness of God. I will daily live by the belief of understanding grace empowering change to better equip myself for success and to better serve those individuals around me. I will daily flood my life with the word of God and the praises of his saints. And I'm going to sign right above pastor and encourager. And I want you to sign above the righteousness of God, because
yes.
that is who you are.
Yes.
You are the righteousness of God. Amen. You know, your efforts to trust God rather than question him will go a long way. By demonstrating your faith through continually confessing the word over your situation and believing with your heart, you will begin to see his power work in your life. Don't give in to your problems. God's word has prepared you for all the trials and temptations you will face. As you grow in your walk with the Lord, your trust in him will develop as well. Now, instead of breaking down, blaming God, and asking why, be confident in him and know that he is working out every detail of your life. I want to thank my guest, Latoya, for joining us today. It was a blessing. Thank God for your life. Thank God for the grace of God on your life. You've encouraged me, and I know that you've encouraged our audience today. Thank you so, so very much. Listen, if there's somebody going through some things in your life and going through some things in your world and you need help, or if you know someone who needs help, please reach out and contact us online at yourworldwithcreflo.com. Stay connected with me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and know that I'd love to hear from you. I'll see you next time right here on Your World.